Very good morning to you all, and welcome to Newport-on-Tay Church of Scotland and to our service of public worship. Today is the last Sunday after Christmas, and on behalf of the congregation and parish, I would love to welcome all those who are worshiping with us for the first time or doing so after a long while. We are still following some of the barrier measures, one of which is that we have to bear or endure the pain of singing behind face masks. But we thank God that our voices can still come out when we sing with those masks. Welcome, and God bless you as you worship with us this morning, and hope to see you again.
Our call to worship is Psalm 97. The Lord reigns, let the earth be glad. Let the distant shores rejoice. Clouds and thick darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and consumes his foes on every side. His lightning lights up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord, before the Lord of all the earth. The heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all people see his glory. All who worship images are put to shame, those who boast in idols. Worship him, all ye gods. Zion hears and rejoices, and the villages of Judah are glad because of your judgment, Lord. For you, Lord, are the most high over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. For those who love the Lord hate evil, for he guards the lives of his faithful ones and delivers them from the hand of the wicked. Light shines on the righteous and joy on the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, you who are righteous, and praise his holy name. Let us praise his holy name as we sing our first hymn, number 739, The Church's One Foundation.
Thank you.
Let us pray. God is near to those who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He will hear their cry and become their salvation. Father, we bless you for today and for all that it brings to us of your love and concern for your creation. With the light comes reawakening and fresh hope, the opportunity for new beginnings and the desire to be here in this place. You are the source of it all. In Jesus Christ, all things have become new, and we need no longer be cast down by the evidence of our frequent failures. The promise of the Spirit's strengthening power is ours, and we can thus face life with gladness, offering you the praise of grateful hearts and our willingness to serve the kingdom. We bless you for the assurance that you are now here with us, our God, waiting to bless us and to bring to our living such a sense of joy and peace and purpose as earth can never give. Yours is a faithfulness that does not change or diminish with the passing of the ages. Yours is a love expressed in Jesus Christ at which we can only marvel. There is no one like you in heaven or upon the earth to whom we should go with our prayers and our praising. So let the glory be yours, our God, this day and all days. Father, our lives and all our ways are like an open book before you. There is nothing we can hide from you. And with humility, we recall those things in which daily we come short of the standards set for us by the Christ. The spirit of true charity motivates us only faithfully. Concern for ourselves crowds out the compassion we should feel for others. The things of the faith seldom occupy the central ground of our thinking. We live and act as if you were not here at all. Have mercy upon us. Forgive us all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness. And bring us to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn, 10,000 Reasons. Bless the Lord, O my soul. We have children in church this morning. Please, can you come out? I know some have gone away for the Scripture Union weekend. Good morning. How are you? It's good to see you all this morning. Are you tired? Are you tired? No, you are not tired. I am tired. Do you know why I'm tired? Can anyone guess why I'm tired? Sleepless nights. Taking care of the baby, looking after the baby. Good. This morning, I want to ask you a simple question, and there are no wrong or right answers. So, there are no wrong answers. I mean, all the answers are right. I mean, the answers you are going to give me, which you have not yet given. They are all right. What do you think about Jesus Christ? What do you think about Jesus? We come to church to worship him, don't we? We come to worship him. So what do you think about him, Jesus Christ? If your friend asks you, who is Jesus, what are you going to say? Difficult question. Who is Jesus? Yes? Our King. Our King. Wonderful answer. Jesus is our King. Yes? Any other answer? Who is Jesus? Where is Jesus? In heaven. It's a simple one, right? Jesus is in heaven. Jesus is our King, and Jesus is in heaven. Where is heaven? It's in space. What an answer. But so if heaven is space, then it means that Jesus is everywhere, because this is space, isn't it? So Jesus is here. Jesus is in heaven, and if heaven is space, that Jesus is everywhere. Now we read and we teach you people about the things that Jesus Christ did when he was on earth, when he lived among people. And some of the things that he did was he healed the sick. He prayed for those who were blind. Some of them were able to see. He gave food to those who were hungry. He was able to assure those who were suffering from any kind of problem that everything will be fine. He did so many good things. And he directed people to go to God. And that's what we are doing when we come to church. Helping you to understand the things that Jesus did and also directing you to look towards heaven. Because that is where all of us are going to be at some point. when we live this present life. So, if we understand that Jesus Christ makes life better for us, then it is a good point for us to talk about this Jesus to other people. Because he gives us the good things that we enjoy. And so we can tell our friends in school and wherever we are to come also to know this Jesus Christ who loves us so much. And one of the most important things he did is that he died because of us so that we should be set free from sin. So in our daily lives, we must continue to learn about him, to pray to him, to thank him for the things that he has given us, and pray that we will always be good children. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this morning, and we thank you for our children. We thank you, O God, that they have a heart for you, and as we continue to raise them in the ways of Christ, we pray, O God, that they would be faithful children, faithful to your word, and that their lives will continue to be a good influence to their friends and to the world. This is our prayer through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our next theme is Come Now Is the Time to Worship. Thank you.
Our first reading this morning is taken from the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 24, reading from verses 12 to 18. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and stay here, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the laws and commandments I have written for their instruction." Then Moses set out with Joshua his aide, and Moses went up to the mountain of God. He said to the elders, "Wait here for us until we come back to you. Aaron and Hur are with you, and anyone involved in a dispute can go to them." When Moses went up on the mountain, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. For 6 days, the clouds covered the mountain, and on the seventh day, the Lord called to Moses from within the cloud. To the Israelites, the glory of the God looked like a consuming fire on top of the mountain. Then Moses entered the clouds as he went on up the mountain, and he stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. The second reading is taken from the book of Revelations, chapter 1, verses 9 to 18. John's vision of Christ. "I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom of patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, 'Write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea.' I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In the right hand he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades.' Amen, and may God add his blessings to these readings of his holy word." We will now sing hymn number 749, "Soon and Very Soon We Are Going to See the King."
Let us pray. Lord, our Father, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Sisters and brothers in the Lord Jesus Christ, the book of Revelation is an unveiling of the Lord Jesus Christ and a revelation of his authority, his power, and preeminent rule in the Father's plan of salvation. And it reveals important information about the events leading up to the second coming of Christ. In our New Testament text in Revelation, John, the apostle, recounts his visions or encounters with the Lord Jesus Christ. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades." John was in Patmos when he had this vision of his encounter with the Lord. Ancient ruins bear testimony to the fact that the island of Patmos was a flourishing place, but it greatly diminished when the Romans conquered and converted it to a place of exile for convicts. That is how John came to Patmos, exiled by the Roman Emperor Titus Flavius Domitianus in 95 AC. And so John was on exile when he wrote his Apocalypse, the events of the complete final destruction of the world as described in Revelation. In our passage, he characterizes the age in several ways. Firstly, it is the age of suffering and affliction. John calls himself a brother and a companion in the suffering. That is a fellow sufferer for Christ with the churches. Your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus. Now, friends, suffering and the kingdom of God are inseparable parts of our inheritance in Jesus. Endurance requires fortitude in view of God's promises during present tribulation. No one can obtain the kingdom of heaven without first passing through testing. And our Lord Jesus Christ warned us, "In the world you shall have tribulation." Paul said we must go through much tribulation to enter the kingdom of God. So, friends, the apostles were no strangers to the hatred of the world. And part of the evidence is in our text, because when John wrote the Apocalypse, he was a prisoner in Patmos because of his witness to the Word of God and for his testimony for the Lord Jesus. So suffering is ours in Jesus. One cannot follow Christ and not experience affliction. We hear of imprisonments of Christian people in parts of the world still today, of torture and other cruel practices that are aimed at destroying the work of God. And we, as individual Christians, still face many troubles, even in our personal lives. However, some churches preach or teach prospective converts that God will solve all their problems and bless them with abundance if they become Christians. But this was not what the apostles taught new converts. Paul says, "To this very hour, we go hungry and thirsty. We are in rags. We are brutally treated. We are homeless. We work hard with our hands. When we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. When we are slandered, we answer kindly. We have become the scum of the earth, the garbage of the world, right up to this moment. With proclamation of the word of God comes persecution and sometimes deprivation and banishment. John's response to his suffering may be instructive to us today who feel that an easy life is our birthright. But whatever is our suffering, there is something that we are promised beyond the tragedies of this mortal life, and that is eternal life. And that sense of a life to come that would be so precious should cause us to rejoice even in our trials and difficulties. I read about a young lady who was suffering with terminal cancer. It's a painful and hopeless disease. But instead of complaints and self-pity, she openly talked about her hope of eternal life in Jesus, about the inheritance of heaven Jesus won for her by dying on the cross, about Jesus conquering death by rising from the dead. Her faith shone through in the kindness she showed to others despite her suffering. How her testimony reached people that would have never entered a church. How carefully people listened in ways they seldom do to a sermon. They saw that this was real, real for her. She was facing imminent death, yet had hope in Jesus. God's power and grace shines out through our weaknesses, for Christ's power dwells on the weak. This age is an age, or the age of affliction. And then finally, it is also an age that is characterized by the safety that we find in the hands of God. We are told that John heard a voice and saw a vision. In that vision, John says Jesus was holding in his right hand 7 stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp double-edged sword. And his face was like the sun, shining in all its brilliance. The symbolism of verses 12 to 18 of our text suggests one who has complete control over all forces, known and unknown, natural and supernatural, seen and unseen, that shape the destinies of people. He holds these forces in his right hand. The hand of power. The things that overtake us are not overlooked by him. They are overruled by him. It is not that he is careless, for the hand that holds the stars bears the scars of Calvary's nails. He knows the searing pain of hammer, nail, and wood. It is not that he is careless, but that he is in control. We will understand it better by and by. God never said the journey in this world will be easy for anybody, but he did say that the arrival would be worthwhile. Let us look forward to that time when God will bring us to his side and give us a life that is full of trouble, pain, and sickness. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, through your word and the scriptures, you speak to us about life on earth and also about life in heaven. Daily we face the challenges of this mortal life, but we know that there would come a time when all will be glory. Help us to persevere in our challenges now and to look forward to that better time and land with you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Thanks to God whose word was spoken. Hymn number 605.
Let us bring before God our prayers of thanksgiving for the offering. Let us pray. You, Lord, are the provider of all good things. Please accept these gifts and use them to your glory. Just as you multiplied the offering of fish and the loaves that were freely given for others, we pray that you would multiply these, our offerings, to you, and accomplish with them more than we could ever ask or imagine. Amen. Let us bring before God our prayers for the church, the world, our community, and ourselves. And there is a bidding, Lord, in your mercy, and the response is, hear our prayer. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you hear our prayers and listened to the thoughts of our hearts as we lay before you our hopes and fears, our joys and sorrows for your church, your world, our community, and ourselves. Father God, we pray for your church throughout the world and all who work so tirelessly to sustain its witness and presence, that they may live in continued unity and strength, actively spreading the good news gospel to all those in spiritual need who seek a deeper meaning and purpose in their lives. We pray for our minister Amos and the added responsibilities placed upon him within our cluster of churches. Support and strengthen him, Lord, and may Presbytery move towards a meaningful and sustainable solution for Christian witness in this geographic corner of North Fife. And as we move towards that solution, help us all to treat each other and our neighbours with consideration and respect, to celebrate what we have in common, and to peacefully accept change and respect our differences. Guide us, Lord, in all we do to serve you in our community. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Creator God, we thank you for the beauty and variety of our landscapes and cultures. Teach us to cherish and respect this planet we inhabit, and to accept the many differences in appearance, language, and beliefs held by those with whom we share our world. Help us not to despair of our world's politicians. We pray that our world leaders would have a passion for justice and truth, honesty and transparency. We pray for places where there is conflict, where peace seems so far away and so many have lost everything. Be with the war-torn refugees and the displaced peoples of this world, remembering the aid agencies and charities who bring them much-needed shelter and relief. In a moment of quiet, please pray for a situation in the world on your mind today. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the continued witness and example of Elizabeth, our Queen, as she today celebrates the 70th anniversary of her accession to the throne. For her steadfast leadership and strict adherence to the oath she promised to uphold before you, God, and we, her people. Loving God, we pray for our own town and community. Help us always to put you first, our neighbours second, and ourselves last of all. Help us to be submissive to your will for us, and to live our lives in witness to your glory as your servants to all in this place, just as our Lord commanded. Lord of heaven, make our homes places of loving acceptance and developing faith. Teach us all in our friendships to grow in generosity of spirit. Lord, may we embrace mission and Christian outreach within our cluster and consider new ways of doing church, utilizing technology and broadcasting your word into the hearts of those as yet unfamiliar with your loving ways. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Healing God, we pray for all who are suffering from physical, emotional, or mental illness. Help them to see you through their pain and anxiety, and give them courage to face their future and the assurance of your guiding hand throughout. We pray for the staff of our National Health Service who have been tested almost to exhaustion in the ensuing pandemic and now face a backlog of casework. Be with all who await an appointment, a consultation, a diagnosis, surgery, or courses of treatment. In a moment of quiet, please pray for someone you know who is in need of God's healing presence. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, we pray for those who are dying, alone, unnoticed, or unloved. We pray for them to be aware of your compassion and loving arms embracing them, holding them close. We pray for all who are remembering a loved one no longer with them. We pray that they will be filled with your peace. In a moment of quiet, let us remember those dear to us who have entered into your heavenly realm and now rest in glory with you, Father God. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We thank you for the hope each newborn child brings, for the gentle gifts of laughter and friendship, thoughtfulness and sympathy. We pray that our eyes may see others with God's affection. Faithful God, as we leave this place today, draw us near to you. Strengthen our faith. Deepen our love for you and for our neighbours, and open our eyes to the wonders of your creation, that we will be ready, willing, and able to serve you and our community throughout the coming week. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our risen Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
If you are able, please, can you rise? Let us together affirm our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Final hymn, stand up for Jesus, you soldiers of the cross. in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.